الحمد لله الذي هدى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين اجتبى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الذين ينفقون أموالهم بالليل والنهار سرا وعلانية فلهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. الذين يأكلون الربا لا يقومون إلا كما يقوم الذي يتخبطه الشيطان من المس. ذلك بأنهم قالوا إنما البيع مثل الربا وأحل الله البيع وحرم الربا فمن جاءه موعظة من ربه فانتهى فله ما سلف وأجره إلى الله وأمره إلى الله ومن عاد فأولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون. صدق الله العظيم.
As the Eid is over for all of us, so now we go back to our series that we were talking about, the series of our ancestors. In our previous session, we were talking about Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu when he became Muslim. He took three steps that were very unique. And of course, we know that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the first Muslim. And at least, as we talked about before, that first free man, free adult, to believe in La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And at that time, even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not ordered to spread the message of Islam openly. In fact, 3 years from then, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ordered to go and spread the message of Islam openly when he went on the mountain and he announced. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, from the very first day, he took these three steps. We talked about the first step, that was secretly going to people and inviting people to Islam. And of course, this was such an important step at that time that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself was not able to do it because of him being a prophet of Allah. There was some procedure he had to go through and he had to be very careful in doing and taking any step towards that direction. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went and he invited people, started inviting people to Islam. And we talked about it that five people out of Al-Ashr al-Mubashshara, 10 of those who got the glad tidings of Jannah, they became Muslim because of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu on the Day of Judgment will be coming with all of his deeds plus the deeds of all of those people. 5 out of 10 people who are going to Jannah, all of their deeds will be also part of the good deeds of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He's getting the full reward, and he got the full reward of each and every of those Sahaba radwanullahi alayhi ajma'in. The second step that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu took, and that was very important, freeing the slaves. There were people, and we all know that in every time, whenever any Prophet of Allah was sent, the first people to accept the message of Islam were the poor people of the community. This is repeated again and again in Quran al-Kareem, the same message, that poor people in every community were the first to accept the message of Islam. In fact, this was one of the objections from the Kuffar of Quraysh against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to send a prophet, the prophet should have been a rich people, a rich person from one of the two communities, big communities, Makkah or Taif, as Quran says, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about it in Quran al-Kareem. وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِّنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ. Why this Quran was not revealed to a great man out of one of these two cities, قَرْيَتَيْنِ, two cities, which means Makkah and Taif. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right away He asks a question, أَهُمْ يَقْسِمُونَ رَحْمَةَ رَبِّكَ. Do they distribute? Do they have the power to distributing the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do they decide for Allah who should Allah give the rahmah? And who should Allah bless? And who should Allah not bless? And they decide for Allah that who should Allah give the prophethood? And whom He should not give the prophethood? أَهُمْ يَقْسِمُونَ رَحْمَةَ رَبِّكَ. So, when these poor people became Muslims, and especially those slaves, Kuffar of Quraysh started torturing those slaves, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, as we have already talked about, he was one of the wealthiest people in Makkah Mukarramah. He started buying those slaves and setting them free for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know a good example of Bilal radiallahu anhu that was bought by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and then set free. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's main target was those people who were totally helpless. And no one else would buy them either. They are slaves that other people will buy them, and they might, some other Muslims might buy them and then keep them as their slaves for some time, whatever. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's target was those people who were totally helpless. When he was buying those type of people, some very poor people, and especially most of the women that were tortured by the Kuffar of Quraysh, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu bought those women and set them free. So once his father said to him, Ya Bunay, O my son, إِنَّكَ إِذَا فَعَلْتَ مَا فَعَلْتَ. When you do this, when you buy these slaves and set them free, why don't you buy some strong people? So that when you set them free, they can keep on helping you for the rest of your life. Because you have done a great favor to them, buy them and set them free, who would do it for them? So buy some strong people. If you want to put your money there, go ahead and do that. But this was the tradition amongst those people, that whenever they wanted to buy slaves and set them free, they used to buy some strong people that they have a lot of hope from, that these people will do a lot of work, they will have a lot of work, they will do good business, and of course, because we have done this great favor to them, so they will keep on paying us for something every time. So he said, why don't you buy those type of people? We have to keep in mind that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's father was not Muslim yet. But after Islam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is wearing totally different glasses now. And I really have to stop at this point and say that those people who wear tinted glasses, and those of us, especially sisters, who would have the contact lenses for changing the color, as soon as we put those glasses or those lenses on, right away we start seeing different colors of things. Now those things are not of the same color that they were before. Now things are of different color. Wearing green glasses, everything around us looks green. Brown, everything is dark. Same thing, there are glasses for our ruh and our soul. And as long as we don't have Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, check our soul and tell us that what type of glasses we need and what's the number for these glasses, we cannot get the right glasses and we cannot see things right. We need to have those right glasses for our soul. And the only person who makes them is Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As soon as people went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he did that surgery on them and he got them, their eyes clean and clear. They were able to see things right. Now they realized that things that were too dark for them before, they were not really dark. And things that were looking too shiny, they are too dark. It was only our eyesight that was giving us our own information. Now everything of comfort that was of comfort before, they are looking at those things with different eyes now. With different glasses now. And now they realize that these are not the things of comfort. The comfort of this life, which is for some years and it will end then, is not the real comfort. The main comfort is the comfort of Akhirah. The life where we will be living forever. The eternal life. Before Islam, everyone thought, and up to this day, non-Muslims still think, that they are created and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them, sent them to this universe to die. But Islam teaches us that Allah did not create us to kill us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for the eternal life, which is coming in the world after this. 9 months in the womb of a mother. None of us remember what we went through during that time. All of us spent that time over there. None of us skipped that time. It might be a little less or longer. Around 9 months, we all spent that time in that world over there. It was a totally different world. We don't remember none of those things that we went through over there. We were fed over there. We were nourished. Our needs were taken care of over there. Whatever needs we had at that time. What was our food? The blood of the mother. That normally she discharges every month. That was our food. That we got nourished over there. This is another world that we came to. That was a transit period. Another transit. And here we will spend about 60, 70 years. In those nine months, whatever we went through, we don't remember a single thing of those things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about this life in the akhirah that we will be saying it was less than a day that we lived in this world. This is another world. But the main life is the life that is coming next to this. And of course, before we will go to Akhirah, which is after the Day of Judgment, there is a period of Alamul Barzakh. We will be spending time over there also. And Barzakh means the time from the person's death till the Day of Judgment. That's another world by itself. These are three different universes, three different worlds that we have to live in. Then finally we will go to our final destination. Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, and of course through them, all the believers, and up to this day, even we realize, after believing in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this life is not the main life. The main life is the one that will come in the akhirah. This is just a transit. And that was the reason Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, اعمل لدنياك كأنك تعيش أبدا واعمل لآخرتك كأنك تموت غدا. When you want to prepare for the worldly life, prepare for the worldly life, keeping in mind that you might have a lot of time. Don't worry about it too much. You have a lot of time. But when you prepare for Akhirah, prepare for it as if you are going there tomorrow. كأنك تموت غدا. If we have a long period of time, then of course we will take our time. I can do it tomorrow also. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whenever there is a time to work for akhirah, كَأَنَّكَ تَمُوتُ غَدًا. Work for it as if you are going back to your Lord tomorrow. There was one of the tabi'een who used to go to tabi'een, rahmatullahi alayhi majma'een, to great scholars of that time. And he was asking all of them just one question.
What is that?
He used to ask every scholar that if you know that you will be dying tonight, what would you do from now till that time? If you know that you are dying tonight, what would you do throughout the day today? How would you spend your day today? Basically, his reason of questioning was so that he can see what the scholars will say, what good deeds they will mention. And accordingly, he will adopt those good deeds in his life. But it's a question for us also, that if we know that tonight we will, today is the last day of our life, we are going back tonight, for that long journey that we have been hearing about all the time, what is it that we would do from now till Isha? And we know that after Salat al-Isha tonight, the angel of death is coming, and that will be the end of my life. What is it that we would do? So he went to different scholars and asked them about this question, and someone will say, you know, I would do this, I would do a lot of istighfar. Of course, no one will think of leaving the masjid after that. If I know that tonight I'm leaving, then I'm just sitting in the masjid, I'm not leaving. And I'm doing istighfar, a lot of tasbih, a lot of prayers. Tell my children, don't take all the wealth, I don't need nothing or none of that. You take the responsibility on your shoulder, you'll be questioned about it on the Day of Judgment. He went to one of the scholars and asked him. That scholar said to him, I won't change anything in my schedule. He said, why? He said, Alhamdulillah, I have my schedule, I have made my schedule in such a way that every day I spend it as if I'm going tonight, today. So I have no changes to make, even if I would know that after 2 hours I would go, I will be still following my same schedule of day-to-day life, because my schedule is made, keeping in mind that I'm going today, not tonight, not tomorrow. I'm ready any time. My schedule is made in the same way. That was something that Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in realized as soon as they became Muslims. As soon as they came into La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. It was a total change. And if we really, there is no time to talk into those details, but if we really think about it, we are not even willing to have those changes into our life. It was a total change. They left all of their traditions. Everything that they were in before, in the days of Jahiliyyah, and we know what were the days of Jahiliyyah. The worst ignorance. And if we think about that ignorance, we feel that can a human being be so low and do such type of things? Burying their daughters alive? As one of the Sahaba says, my daughter was 6 years old. And finally, that day, when she became 6 years old, I said to myself, it's too much. I kept her for too long now. He said, I took her with me and started digging a hole to bury her alive. And as the dust was getting into my beard and my clothes, this was in the days of Jahili. She was cleaning all the dust from me, and she's cleaning my clothes, and she says, Dad, your clothes are getting dirty, and she's cleaning my clothes. And finally, when I finished digging the hole, I threw her in there and started throwing the dust on her. So she was shouting and crying, Dad, what are you doing to me? I said to her that, sorry, you have no right to live. So she said, you don't have to keep me with you. Just let me go wherever I want. I can go and live with my friends or with someone else. But please, don't kill me in this way. He says, I did not listen to anything that she was saying, and I buried her alive. Imagine, 6 years old girl, and someone will bury, will dig a hole, and will throw that girl alive in that hole and bury her with his own hand. A father is doing that. But this was a normal thing in the Jahiliyyah. It was normal. It wasn't something that only occasionally some people would do it. In fact, those people who would not do it would consider, in our language, backward people. Those people were considered the bad elements in the community who do not understand what they are living for and what are the values of the community. If you are a man, you are supposed to bury your daughter alive. It's a challenge. If you are a man, you are supposed to do it. And if you won't do it, we are not part of our society. That is the Jahiliyyah. And from that Jahiliyyah, coming into Islam, and if we look, and this is the reason we talk about these Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, for us to realize what type of turn their life took after La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. It was a total change. 180 degrees on the other side, that no, on one hand they were doing all of these evils, on the other hand they don't even want to think about these things. And when some thoughts of those things would come to their mind, they went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, "Ya Rasulullah, there are some thoughts of jahiliyyah, some bad thoughts that are coming into our mind. Ya Rasulullah, please tell us how to get rid of those thoughts also, because we don't even want to think about those things." So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, his father said to him, "Son, you are setting these slaves free, but by some strong people who can help you for the rest of your life. But now the values have changed for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And now his values, some things are extremely important to some people and have no importance to the other people. So now those things that were of importance to his father have no value to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And the things that are very important to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu have no value to his father. Total change now. Islam and Jahiliyyah, two different things." So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said to his father that, "إنما أفعل ما أفعل لوجه الله سبحانه وتعالى. Whatever I'm doing it only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't want anything in return from these people. And this is the main reason that I'm setting these people free. That other people, some other people can set them free, also buy them and set them free. But I don't want any return." No tax return from the zakat. "So I don't want any return from setting these people free. And I don't want anything back from these people. I'm doing it only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." These ayahs of Al-Quran Al-Kareem of Surah Al-Layl, that many times we recite them and we listen to these ayahs also. These ayahs were revealed about Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى وَلَسَوْفَ يَرْضَى. Subhanallah. Great ayahs for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى. No one has done any favor to him that he's trying to pay back for it. إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى. He's only seeking the pleasure of Allah, the greatest. وَلَسَوْفَ يَرْضَى. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Abu Bakr, "Why not, Abu Bakr? Soon I will be pleased with you. Don't worry about it, Abu Bakr." Guarantee to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that you're doing this for my sake, I'm surely pleased. وَلَسَوْفَ يَرْضَى. This was the second step that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The third step that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu took after becoming Muslim was he started, of course we know that he's one of the wealthiest people, and he started spending all of his wealth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's spending all of his wealth. Because especially, now if we keep these three steps in our mind, number one, that he's preaching Islam to those people. Number two, he's setting these people free. And number three, he's spending, he loves to spend his wealth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, now he has greater responsibility. All of these people that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu have set free, many of them are women, Muslim women, who were slaves before. No one wants to give them any job now. They are single women. Who's going to take care of these women now? So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu took it upon himself. So now in his family he has 15 members, not 4 members in his family. All of those women are part of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's family. And he's feeding them. He's taking care of all of their needs. And because Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu preached Islam to very important people like Uthman radiallahu anhu, Zubayr bin al-Awwam, Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, the great people, the side effect for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, which was of course, for worldly think, we can see it was totally against him, that all of their relatives, those people who became Muslims because of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's da'wah and invitation, all of their relatives and their clans turned against Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And in some time, within a short time, people have seen in Makkah that now Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu has even more enemies than Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. Because people are becoming Muslims because of the invitation of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So all of their relatives say, "Forget about Muhammad, he's not coming to our homes. Let him stay at his home and do the da'wah." But Abu Bakr he comes to our home and is trying to get our youth from us and our people from us. And almost all the clans in Makkah, there were at least one person from every group in Makkah that became Muslim because of the invitation of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So now almost the whole Makkah is against Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And the worst torture that anyone was facing in, at that time in Makkah Mukarramah was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, to the extent that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had to go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ask his permission, Ya Rasulullah, now I have gone through a lot of hardships, Ya Rasulullah, and all of these kuffar of Quraysh, now they have forgotten about everyone else, and they're just after me, Ya Rasulullah, I'm their main target now, Ya Rasulullah, so if you please allow me to migrate to some other land. Abu Bakr Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, go to Eritrea. Habasha, Eritrea, as we call it nowadays. So he asked him to go over there. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was leaving, and he left, he took all of his baggage, and he was going towards that, in that direction. On his way, something else happened that stopped Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu from going over there, and gave him some opportunity to live in Makkah Mukarramah for some time. Inshallah, we will talk about that even in our next session. That what stopped Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu from migrating, as he had already left Makkah Mukarramah, and what brought him back from his way, and what Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went through after that, we'll talk about that in our next sessions. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.